Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Dr. Anna Macias, and today's episode is going to focus on a recent animated film by DreamWorks released exclusively on a streaming service. If your first thought on that was Megamind 2, get out of here. Now, before we actually get started, I just want to say, if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe, like the video, and comment below. And if you want to get notified whenever a new video goes up, ring that bell. If you're just listening to this on a podcast app, like, say, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, then please just add this to your list of shows. So, if it's not Megamind 2, what is it? Well, it's the one that DreamWorks actually made, Orion in the Dark. See, the thing about Megamind 2, just before we get to this, I never had high hopes for it. I am a big fan of Megamind, and I did want a sequel, but the second they announced that it was going to be done by the TV division, I was already thinking, like, okay, so this is going to be similar to, like, Return of the Jafar, Lion King 2, or any of the other Disney straight-to-video sequels. It doesn't even have to be the Disney ones. It could have been easily like The Land Before Time or whatever. Point being is that I already knew, like, okay, so this is not going to be an official thing. Like, yeah, technically it is an actual movie that was made, but it's made by the TV studio. Not to diss them, but the fact that it's the TV studio means that it was never going to get the same kind of support that a theatrical movie would get, which you can tell that with the animation. The writing, I'm sure, was much more rushed, because when it comes to, like, a TV thing, it's like, okay, well, you know, we only have so much time. We're not going to put in the effort to make sure it really shines, all that stuff. So I was already like, okay, why am I even going to bother with this? I mean, I could eventually watch it and talk about it, but that it came out bad and that a lot of people didn't like it, I'm like, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, you might as well tell me, like, okay, well, the straight-to-video sequel of any random thing is bad. Like, yeah, of course. And I know that's a little harder to believe now, just because there's so many movies that come out on streaming that are theatrical quality, but that doesn't mean that everything is. I mean, we still get, like, the Scooby-Doo straight-to-video movies that, you know, yeah, they have their charm, especially if you're a fan of that stuff. But, you know, if you're looking for something on a theatrical level, it's like, look, this was never going to be it. I don't know why people are that surprised by this. But, again, maybe it's just because this hasn't been done as much anymore, and realistically, streaming has made theatrical quality movies, which is the case of Orion in the Dark, a movie that was actually done by the DreamWorks theatrical division. Granted, it was animated by a different studio, which is not too surprising, given its art style is very different from their usual stuff, but it's not anything that's unheard of with DreamWorks, even beyond that, because it's the same animation studio that was responsible for doing Captain Underpants for them. So it is a very neat-looking movie. Let's dive into what Orion in the Dark is about. Orion in the Dark is basically about this little boy named Orion, who is essentially the biggest wimp around. The first 10 minutes I was watching this, I was like, look, I don't want to be mean. I get it. You know, they're setting up that this kid is scared of literally everything. He's scared of being embarrassed in front of people. He's scared of interacting with people. He's scared of the dark, which, you know, sets up the title. He's scared of, like, you know, even when he gets home, he's afraid of his parents moving away before he even arrives home. So he's, like, this very anxious kid who's just creating all these scenarios of what he's afraid of. And I'm not going to lie, for the first 10 minutes, it does get a little annoying. Like, there is kind of a cute charm to it, but there's a little bit like, okay, look, I'm willing to stick it out just because this looks nice and whatnot, but I imagine other people might be a little turned off, which to those people I say, you know, hold on tight. If you're watching this with your kids, you're gonna get something special. And even if you're not watching it with your kids, this is a surprisingly well-written movie. I mean, which is no surprise once you realize that it's by Charlie Kaufman, great writer, and this is definitely out of his wheelhouse. I mean, the last animated movie he did was Anomalisa, which is an adult animated feature. I'll have to talk about it someday. But, yeah, like, when it comes to Orion in the Dark, starting off, it's very much like this very wimpy kid, to a point that even I kind of felt like, man, if this kid was around when I was in school, I probably would have been calling him a little bitch. Like, not to be mean, but that's how far I got, where I'm like, okay, dude, I am trying to be respectful here. I get that you're a kid and you're scared. I've been, you know, when I was a kid, I was very scared too. And, you know, I still get scared now. But you're creating scenarios to a point where I'm like, God damn, even a nerdy ass kid like me would believe your ass. It's like, Jesus, you're that scared of everything. Bullying is wrong, by the way. You know, obviously you shouldn't bully anyone. But, you know, it kind of gets you into that mindset of like, man, this kid is so whiny. But it pays off. It, you know, it does basically set up like, okay, so because he's such a afraid of all these things, we get introduced to the other title character, Dark, who's this pretty much figure who creates the darkness of the night and everything. His whole reason for existing is to carry on the nighttime, and he basically is like, look, you know, everyone's afraid of me, but you're the one that's afraid of me the most. Like, I've never seen anyone this scared, and it kind of ruins the mood every night because, you know, I have a whole job carrying out this thing, and if I got people like you running around too afraid to sleep or live in the night or whatever, it just ruins the whole mood. So he's like, look, I'm already burnt out from people constantly doing this stuff, so I'm gonna take you on a tour, show you that the darkness isn't so scary, let you know about some of these things, and hopefully you're gonna be a braver kid by the end of the night, or 24 hours like they established, and you'll be back home, you know, a better person. And that's pretty much the whole thing. It's just this whole journey with him as they go across, see how nighttime works. In many ways, it kind of reminded me of Rise of the Guardians, where another DreamWorks movie, in which case that one was about, like, okay, here's, like, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, pretty much these holiday figures coming together, fighting evil, you know, figures. Like, in that one, it was pretty much the boogeyman to protect kids. In this case, it's more or less a more existential version, I guess you could say, of it. Like, one more, like, okay, these are the people who work every day to create our whole time frame, I guess. Because, you know, you got Dark, you get introduced to his rival, which is Light, essentially the person who brings the light. But Dark has his own, like, co-workers. He's the guy, like, okay, here's a little, you know, creature called Quiet, who makes everything quiet. But then you got a little, like, fly, mosquito character called Insomnia, basically keeps people up. You got Sleep, puts people to sleep, all these kinds of things. And that's all just to set up, like, okay, so this is how nighttime works. Like, people who fall asleep, people who struggle with sleep, these are all, like, the little reasons of it. And, of course, Orion at first is terrified by all this stuff, almost ruins a lot of these situations with his own fear. But eventually he starts coming around and starts realizing, like, okay, so all this is fine, it's safe, and whatnot. And the biggest surprise here is that, whereas at first I was just thinking of Rise of the Guardians, I eventually got reminded of other DreamWorks movies. And I say this in a way where it's weird. It is, in some ways, very derivative of, I would say, at least three different DreamWorks movies. But for what it's worth, it starts feeling very original, and it's, at the very least, better than two of them. Personally, it's all DreamWorks movies that I'm fine with, at the very least. But it is kind of interesting how it blends these things together. Because, and this is hardly a spoiler, but it also reveals that it is a bedtime story that an adult Orion is telling his kid to get her to sleep. And they're kind of experiencing, you know, life with each other. It's very nice, because at first you think, like, okay, so they just kind of spoiled that this is a bedtime story, but no, it actually ends up factoring into the story, and it ends up becoming this whole thing where it's basically like, okay, so this emotional story is also a way to kind of showcase how parenthood is kind of like, how connecting with your children can be like, and just asks certain questions, like, about how nighttime works. Because it's like, okay, well, you know, like, in the adults, like, pretty much what's supposed to be going on later on, the daughter even questions, like, okay, well, we're in the big city and we don't see any stars unless we go to the planetarium, where it's fake stars. Like, isn't that kind of crazy? Yeah, like, that kind of reminded me of, like, The Boss Baby, where you have the whole thing is essentially a big story being told by the adult older brother of the Boss Baby. Only here, like, you know, yeah, they try to factor it into the story, which in a way kind of reminded me of The Princess Bride. Very interesting, especially because you don't even realize that this is supposed to be a story until, like, about 20 to 30 minutes into the movie. So it's pretty interesting that it takes its time on it. But eventually, it also started reminding me of B-Movie. That's a little bit more of a spoiler-heavy thing, so if you haven't watched the movie, I would recommend that you stop watching the video now and just go out and watch it. It's a fairly recent movie. It's a really good movie. A lot of you should definitely watch it, but if you don't mind spoilers, go on ahead. Essentially, you know, where this eventually goes, like, the daughter suggests, like, okay, well, you know, you gotta have more complexity in your stories, Dad. So adult Orion is like, okay, well, you know, here's where the more complex version of my origin story of becoming not so scared of everything basically happens. Essentially, Orion, as a kid, starts explaining stuff that happens during daytime to the other figures that work with that work with the dark, like the insomnia, the dreams, you know, all that stuff. So they all started thinking, like, well, you know, if that stuff only happens in the daytime, I kind of want to experience daytime. And the dark is kind of freaking out about it because it's like, well, we kind of need you guys in order to run, you know, nighttime. If it doesn't, it starts collapsing. They're like, yeah, but we want to experience this stuff. So essentially, Orion screws dark over. And even though he tries, you know, apologizing for it, Dark just starts giving up because he realizes, like, oh, well, yeah, if even my coworkers don't like me, then maybe I shouldn't do anything. Which is an interesting thing because they reveal, like, okay, so if light catches up to dark, then dark ceases to exist. And they kind of set it up in a way where light is antagonistic to dark. But interestingly, light actually doesn't hate darkness. Like, he even tries warning darkness, like, hey, get out of the way, keep on moving, otherwise I'm gonna end up destroying you. The result is that dark does get destroyed, and as a result, the world stops having nighttime, people stop falling asleep, people stop having this stuff, so it ends up creating a world where everyone's always awake. As a result, the temperatures are rising, people are getting more frustrated, all these things. So it's like, yeah, that kind of reminded me of B-Movie with the whole thing with the lack of honey and whatnot. Real draining stuff, but I'm not going to explain how because you should go watch it. So with all this, it does sound like a very weird story. Now, did it deserve to not get a theatrical release? I don't think so. I know this was partially because they have a partnership with Netflix, but I don't know if there was some specific reason why they chose this to not go to theaters. I don't know if they just thought it was too weird for kids to understand, if selling it with Charlie Kaufman's name was just too much. But I don't know. I think this is a movie that was dealt a raw hand because it really should have been released in theaters. It looks really nice. The animation is very cartoony. At times it looks kind of like the whole 2D mixed with 3D kind of thing. The character designs are nice, even if they're not the most distinct from each other, but, you know, it is very nice, especially once you get to the creatures of the night. It is a very nice looking movie, and the story is really good. I think while it isn't one of DreamWorks' best movies, it is, I would still say it probably goes up there. It's definitely one of the most well-written movies, even if it's not one of my favorite ones. And it's certainly much more mature once you get through those initial 10 minutes and you start realizing, okay, so this is what it's really about. And the way it mixes in the whole, you know, bedtime story aspect of it really created something special for it. I don't know. I think it was really well done. For the most part, I just think it's a really good movie that should be seen. But unfortunately, because it's on Netflix, it means it's going to get buried by a lot of people who just won't bother checking it out. Because unfortunately, Netflix just loves to bury stuff. Now, maybe if it gets a strong enough push, you'll see, much like something like Nomona, they'll release it on YouTube for free to watch. And it'll gain much more of an audience that way. But I'm not too sure. I would definitely love it if DreamWorks releases a physical version of this, but I'm not holding out my hopes for it. What I can say is that you should definitely check it out if you're interested in animation, just because it is a very touching story. I do think that whether you're a parent or you've experienced being scared of a lot of things yourself, you'll find a lot to relate to, even if you can get kind of annoyed by Orion. And it just got has such a likable cast in it. Orion himself is voiced by Jacob Tremblay. The Dark is voiced by Paul Walter Hauser, which, great performance. Love that dude in a lot of things, especially, you know, one of my favorites was in I, Tonya, where he played the bodyguard buddy CIA guy. If you've seen the movie, you know who I'm talking about. And it's just a lot of fun. I think of the recent DreamWorks movies, it's definitely one of the better ones. It's up there with, like, Puss in Boots, or I can't really say too much about it, given that it hasn't come out yet, but there is an upcoming one that I've seen through test screenings that is a really great movie. It's definitely better than Kung Fu Panda 4, which I enjoyed. I don't know, I've enjoyed a lot of DreamWorks movies. I think people give them too much of a bad rap. There are some bad ones, I'm not gonna pretend there isn't, but there's a lot of them that I feel like, you know, for example, like The Boss Baby, that gets a lot of hate for no real reason other than because it's such a bizarre movie. And that's kind of what DreamWorks excels at, making a lot of bizarre movies, throwing a lot of ideas onto the wall and seeing what sticks. This feels like one of those, and I don't know, that's part of why I kind of struggle with the idea of, like, maybe they thought it was too bizarre for kids, but I don't know, you know, it is a very fun movie. I never really had any issues with it other than the first 10 minutes, you know, making Orion a little too annoying in his, you know, in his fear. But again, that kind of pays off because it, you know, it sets up like how this character's gonna work. I don't know, it's definitely one of those things where it's like everyone's talking about Megamind 2 in terms of, like, the streaming DreamWorks movies. They're all going off about how DreamWorks has fallen off because that movie was bad, and Kung Fu Panda 4 wasn't as good as, you know, the first three. And, you know, I occasionally see this one brought up, like, oh, well, this one was released straight to streaming, and no one's talking about it. And I'm like, well, if you saw it, talk about it. Like, you know, if you have the power to talk about it, you should talk about it. Like, if you're aware of it and you haven't seen it, maybe don't call it a drop-off if you haven't even seen it, to even call it a drop-off. Then again, I just kind of hate that whole mentality of, like, okay, let's try to make everything a game and whatnot. Especially because it feels like people are trying to box in DreamWorks the same way that Disney has essentially boxed themselves. Because Disney has this weird thing where they've had pretty much cycles of, like, okay, here's our good movies, here's our bad movies, here's our good movies. And it happens all the time. Like, you know, if you go back to, like, when it was the Walt era, it was like, okay, so this is consistently the good era. Unless you want to count the wartime films where people are more mixed on because they're mostly shorts, then there'd be good, bad, good. But I know most people would go just good on the whole Walt Disney stuff. Right after Walt Disney passed away, goes into the bad. Then we got the Renaissance, it goes back good. Then you got the 2000s, bad. You got from pretty much Princess and the Frog, or some people say Bolt, it depends. I personally say Meet the Robinsons. From there, it goes back to good. And then right now, it seems like we're going into another low period, because over the last few years, outside of Encanto, we've had some okay movies. Honestly, I don't really have an issue with a lot of them, outside of they're not as good as some of these other ones. But, you know, Wish was definitely a bad one. And everyone seems to be like, okay, so that's how it's going to be. Like, it's always going to be a good, bad, good, bad. But the thing about DreamWorks is that they've never really had a period like that. Like, yeah, they'll release a bad movie. For example, I wasn't too big on Home, or Trouble I was okay with, but it wasn't all that good. But then right after those, you get something special. So it's always been kind of inconsistent. Just going with the whole Puss in Boots era, like, you know, the recent one, you follow that up with, like, Ruby Gilman, okay movie, goes up to Trolls 3, really fun movie, not a great movie, but it's really fun. Then you go into this one, I think it's, you know, it's close to great. Kung Fu Panda 4, okay, you know, it's pretty good. I don't know, you know, it's always been kind of all over the place. You're not gonna have, like, something like like, you know, even Pixar, where it's like, okay, we're going to have like three masterpieces in a row or something like that. And I don't have a problem with that. I think, if anything, it makes DreamWorks more interesting because it allows them to have more wild ideas. Sometimes you'll get something deeply serious, but then other times you'll get something wacky. And that's not something you get out of Disney all that often. I appreciate them going with this, and I appreciate them just doing whatever they want. And hey, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's okay. Personally, I think it's more okay than not. But yeah, you can't just box in DreamWorks the same way you box in Disney, because it's not a fair comparison. Like, I'm sure if you wanted to, you could find like an actual, I want to say like an actual era or something like that. Like, you know, like some way to actually box them in, but it's not going to be based on quality. It's going to be based on probably leadership or styles or stuff like that. Not really in terms of one is good or one is bad. But, you know, all of that is a bunch of other stuff. The whole point is, Orion in the Dark, very solid movie, especially if you want something that discusses about, you know, childhood fears. If you're a parent, you're going to love it. If you're not a parent, you'll still appreciate the writing. Overall, give it a watch. Solid time. Highly recommended. DreamWorks, you should have done better with this movie. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you again next time.
You really think you can fix everything I'm afraid of in one night?
One night can change everything!
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcast on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.